Hello, and welcome to There's Hope with Homeopathy. This monthly show airs the third Friday of each month and focuses on classical homeopathic treatment, how it can benefit your entire family and be of benefit for many diseases, both acute and chronic, and especially how it can be a curative therapy in the treatment of autism. My name's Amy Lansky, and I'm broadcasting live this month from Portola Valley, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is right near Stanford University. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. It's a brand new year, 2006, and I hope it's a better year for our world than the last one. Somehow I feel a bit more optimistic, but I'm not sure why. Anyway, it's a new year, and I might suggest to all of you that you start the year out right by resolving to try homeopathy for yourself and for your family. If you've been listening to this show for a while, in fact, this is our one-year anniversary of the show, so that's really exciting. If you're interested, my first thing to suggest to you is to go to the referral lists on the ImpossibleCure.com website. So this is the website for my book, Impossible Cure, and the website is ImpossibleCure.com. So on the left-hand side of that website, of the main page there, is a set of buttons, and one of them says Autism Treatment and Referrals. So click on that button, and I would suggest reading the entire page, actually. At the bottom, there's a set of referral lists. Now, a lot of people write to me because of this show, and you're free to do so. You can send me an email at alansky, A-L-A-N-S-K-Y, at autism1.org, or just send an email to me at lansky at impossiblecure.com. And many people write to me to get referrals. I might start with the referral list on my page. Those are the referral lists I myself use, but if you want to write to me to get a referral, please feel free to do so. I usually answer all my emails within a week and usually less. And by the way, many people call me or write me wanting to get treatment for their autistic kids. I myself do not treat autistic kids myself. I do have a small practice, but I only treat adults. But I do a lot of referrals, and I give advice over email. And I like to have all my interactions with parents be over email, because otherwise my life would become complete chaos with all the phone calls. So, and I'm not paid for this either, so this way I can keep my life under control by working through email. Another news in the recent news. This is actually very exciting. There's a new paper that has just come out on the structure of water, basically verifying that it is very possible that those homeopathic remedies with the extreme dilutions have something to them, in particular have altered an altered form in the structure of water, of the water molecules. This paper was recently published by Rustam Roy, Bill Tiller, and others. Now, both of these professors are very famous scientists. William Tiller is used to be the chairman of the material science department at Stanford, and I believe Rustam Roy was also the chairman, I think, of material science at Penn State. So this paper discusses, it's not any kind of clinical study or experimental study, but what it does is discusses that from the standpoint of material science, which is an engineering science devoted to the study of materials, including materials like water. From that standpoint, having a structural change to water is not only possible, but is probable. It's almost an obvious thing from the standpoint of material science. From the standpoint of chemistry, if you have these ultra dilutions that homeopathy uses, then it's questionable. And that's why people have said, oh, homeopathic remedies can't have anything to them because there's nothing in them because of the extreme dilution. But as Roy and Tiller describe in their really extensive paper, not only is this not impossible, this is this is very likely or almost necessary, given the way homeopathic remedies are prepared. So I may give you that citation. I don't have it right here, but it is just come out, and the National Center for Homeopathy has been meeting with the various press to have press releases about this. And actually, what I would suggest is that if you're interested in this, to stay tuned to the website of the National Center for Homeopathy, which is homeopathic, homeopathic.org. So, and in fact, as I always suggest on the show, everybody should join the National Center for Homeopathy if you yourself are interested in homeopathy, because it's one of the best ways to learn about homeopathy and how it can help your family, even just treatment of acute, you know, ailments like flu, etc., in the home. So just go to that website. I want to reiterate again, I say this at the beginning of every show, that it's very important, and I really encourage all of you, if you're interested in this show, to listen to the past archives of the show, because really I'm conducting this show as a bit of a short course on homeopathy, although today's show is kind of self-contained. In this homeopathy course is based on my book, Impossible Cure, The Promise of Homeopathy, which is a general introduction to homeopathy. It's one of the primary patient education books in the country. It's now available in German also, and believe it or not, is going to be translated into Slovenian. I had to look up Slovenia on the map, but that's going to be happening. Anyway, it's a general broad introduction to homeopathy. It's not a how-to book, but it also includes a chapter about my son's cure from autism thanks to homeopathy, as well as many other cure stories for a wide variety of ailments, not just autism. So it's not really strictly an autism book. So you can find out about ordering Impossible Cure on the ImpossibleCure.com website. And to listen to past archives of the show, you just go to my website as well. The Autism One has some of those shows on their archives, but all of them are on can be accessed through ImpossibleCure.com. I also encourage you to check out the Cure Stories database on ImpossibleCure.com and contribute to it as well. It has several stories, actually, of autism cures in there, but also other cure stories as well. While you're on the Impossible Cure website, I also suggest you read the page on autism treatment. So, I didn't mention this yet. Today's show is actually an FAQ kind of show. A lot of people write to me, or I give talks, people ask me questions, and often people ask me the same questions over and over again. So today is kind of an FAQ show where I'll try to address questions that people often ask me. Next month, I'm sure many of you will be interested in that show, I'm going to be having an interview with Erica McPhee, who is a mom from Maine whose son was also cured of autism thanks to homeopathy. In fact, her son made an even more amazing recovery, I would say, than Max, because he was much more severely impacted. So that show will be February 17th, and you might be interested in checking out Erica's website. It's recoveredfromautism.com. It's a really, really great website. Okay, so let's move on to the FAQs. The first thing I want to say is that most of the questions that people ask me can be answered by just reading a couple books. Obviously, the first one is to read Impossible Cure. It will help you understand how to prepare for appointments, what to expect, what the various remedy reactions are, what the various kinds of dosing are, what's homeopathy all about, the philosophy of healing and cure, etc. Lots of stuff, and a lot of this is covered in previous shows and in future shows too. Another book that's come out this past year, and I believe they have a show on an autism one as well, is by Judith Reichenberg Ullman, Robert Ullman, and Ian Lupker. This book's called A Drug-Free Approach to Asperger and Autism. Now, their book is different from my book. It doesn't really explain homeopathy in general that much, but it does have an explicit FAQ section for parents of autistic kids. It focuses specifically on the autism spectrum, with a particular focus in their book on Asperger. So most of the cases that they talk about are Asperger cases. But nevertheless, a lot of the information in that book is useful to any parent on the autism spectrum, so with children on the autism spectrum. So by buying these two books, you'll learn a real lot about homeopathy, classical homeopathy, and its approach to autism. So let's look at some questions. So, yes, I answered this first one was, do I consult? This is first thing is, do I treat autistic kids myself? And the answer is no, but send me an email. I'll give you a referral and answer questions. Another question I often get, people read my book or go to my website, etc., and they hear that my own son's remedy was carcinosin that brought him out of the autism, although he also took has taken other remedies over the years after he was out of that real autistic state. But and they say, how can I get carcinosin? They think they can treat their child themselves. Well, one thing I hope this show makes clear over time is that, first of all, homeopathy, especially in the treatment of some serious chronic disease like autism, is not something you do yourself. In fact, even a homeopath would not treat themselves for problems like this. And carcinosin in particular is not necessarily the correct remedy for your child. I mean, dozens and dozens of remedies have been curative for autistic children because homeopathy is a individualized form of treatment that has to be where the remedies are selected to the particular symptoms of each child. So just because my son was benefited by carcinosin doesn't mean that your son will. And then the other thing I say is that carcinosin is a bit harder remedy to get, and it is also a very serious remedy. It's a nozode, a remedy made from disease, and it should never be used lightly, and you shouldn't be treating yourself. And that said, autism treatment is challenging. It's not easy, even for the very most experienced homeopath. It requires time, it requires knowledge, it requires patience, and you simply cannot be doing this yourself. It would be like doing a surgery on yourself. So that's my answer to that question. So, okay, another question I get asked a lot is, what about other treatments? As we know, all the parents in this community are doing a million things. And so there's various questions. How will they interfere with homeopathy? Should I do them? Etc. Well, first of all, homeopathy, the remedies will not interfere with these other treatments. It will not interfere with allopathic drugs. But those other treatments, these other drugs, may interfere with the homeopathic treatment. You know, homeopathy is a very subtle form of energy medicine. And an energetic stimulus is given to the patient and then essentially affects the energy body of the patient that triggers it, enables it to start healing itself. And that's one reason, by the way, that when you take homeopathic remedies, when they're curative, it doesn't feel like something's being done to you. It's because the body itself has now been stimulated to cure itself, so it feels very natural. It feels like, oh, suddenly I just started feeling better, or yes, I suddenly started healing, or suddenly my stomach started functioning properly. But that said, you know, most other treatments are very harsh. They kind of force the body to do something, and so therefore they can interfere with this energetic stimulus. Or derail it or lessen the effect of the energetic stimulus. Now, various things that are definitely almost always antidotes or at least decrease the effect of homeopathic remedies are very strong smelling minty, menthol-y substances. So this includes camphor, especially menthol, and tea tree oil, eucalyptus. You know that kind of smell that's very permeating, like Vicks VapoRub. That can definitely antidote the effects of the remedies or lessen them significantly. And taking allopathic drugs and some of these other treatments will interfere with treatment more or less. And it all depends on the patient and their susceptibility to that, whatever it is, the treatment. So the first thing that I would say is you must discuss this issue with your homeopath. They have to be told everything you are doing, all these millions of other treatments, supplements, etc., and what you are doing will also affect how the homeopath decides to provide dosing to your child. So if you're doing lots of other treatments or taking other drugs or whatever, then they may decide to give you a daily dose of the remedy because that will help compensate for the fact that all these other things are being done. Another piece of advice that most homeopaths give their patients is, once you begin homeopathic treatment, try not to change anything else. Don't start adding in other treatments or subtracting them, because then it'll be very hard for the homeopath to know what was the effect of the remedy and what was the effect of these other things you're doing. It's very important in homeopathy for the homeopath to be able to assess if a particular remedy was curative and what effects it was having. So if you start moving everything around or changing everything around, it's hard for them to assess that. Now, some of the treatments that the autism community uses interfere more than others with homeopathy, and some are really beneficial. Okay, so the first thing I would say is that all the diets, etc., are very important, and if they've been beneficial for your kid especially, stay on them, important. And you should do them anyway. You should try eliminating them, the gluten and the casein and everything. Why is this true? Because for whatever reason, and probably vaccination is the reason, this community of children are very sensitive to certain foods. And so the foods are what we would call, homeopaths call, a maintaining cause in the case. It is something that is constantly aggravating their state. It's like, having a family member who's very toxic, constantly, you know, baiting at you. That's a maintaining cause too. And it's just, no matter what's being done, if that food or that person is in your life, it's going to degrade your state of health. And as much as possible, homeopaths like to remove the maintaining causes, the toxic emotional situations, foods that are aggravating, living in poor living conditions, etc. So that's a part of homeopathy, is suggesting patients to improve their environment. Now, that said, with time, and I usually, often this is the last thing to go or take several years, your child's sensitivity to these foods should decrease and go away. And this was true in my son's case. So he can drink cow's milk now without problem, but I don't really encourage him to do that, though. But he can. He does in the summers when he's at camp. So yes, the diets are important. Most of the supplements, various vitamins, etc., that people use is also okay. And my general thing I tell parents is, if it's like a food-like thing, it's probably fine. Now, I have heard, and it really is variable, it depends on this child, that some essential oils that people use have been known to antidote the remedy. So, you know, whatever, you need to tell the homeopath all these things you're taking and doing. Of course, behavioral treatments are excellent, whatever they may be. You should be aware that... and I've heard this several times from practitioners and patients, that because a child who's undergoing homeopathic treatment is going to respond, is going to be able to progress faster usually in these treatments than kids who aren't being treated homeopathically. So it's very important to monitor how your child is changing and progressing and to change these, whatever the behavioral therapies they're using or the schools they're attending. You don't want them to be stuck in a program that is below them or is not challenging them or having them move forward because they have been progressing so much faster. So you probably what will happen is that you will need to be much more involved in monitoring what your kid really needs because they are going to change, they are going to improve. Okay, and treatments like cranial sacral, chiropractic, Reiki, osteopathy, these kind of hands-on treatments, prayer, etc., these are all good, and I really think they work synergistically with homeopathy. So I do encourage that as well. And by the way, Max did have osteopathic treatments too, a few during his cure. Now, the question I'm usually asked the most is about chelation. And I know that many people want to try this. And my advice about this is if you're dead set on doing this, that you should do it before homeopathic treatment or postpone it and wait and see how homeopathic treatment does for you. Because I have heard stories that chelation can definitely interfere with homeopathic treatment. I know personally of stories where the child was progressing and the parents got impatient. Patience is of essence in this in homeopathic treatment, but the parents got impatient and said they want to try chelation, and all the progress they got from the homeopathy was reversed, and it took a few years to get back on track. Now chelation is very strong. It's a chemical method of removing metals from the body, so it is a very strong stimulus to the body. So this is the kind of thing that will really potentially interfere with homeopathy. If you were doing non-chemical means, let's say using food to chelate, that obviously is less, much less so, or not at all. And I've also heard that the creams that are now used for chelation are less interfering. So there's less interfering ways to do it, but I would definitely think about that, talk about that with your homeopath, because you don't want to embark upon something and have it derail the progress you've gotten, or try it first and see how far it gets you. But it is a very strong stimulus to the body. Now, the next question people ask me on the same subject is, can homeopathy chelate metals out of the body? And the evidence for this is yes. There's a couple stories in Impossible Cure, one about where a man who was actually dying of arsenic poisoning was given extremely high potency. That means a very, very high dilution of arsenic, and he started sweating the arsenic out of his body. His sweat was drying and his shirt was just coated with white powder, with the arsenic powder that came out of his body. Another story in my book about how a dental hygienist started having, after being treated homeopathically, started excreting mercury in her menstrual blood. So yes, that is true. But in general, the way homeopathy works is it stimulates the body to function properly. Now, one of the problems that autistic kids have is that they are not excreting mercury from their body or whatever these metals are properly from their body. What homeopathy does is it enables the body to function properly. What that means is that the chelation, if homeopathic treatment is successful, will be slow and natural. It will not be forced. So this process of chelation would be natural and gradual. Okay. Okay, so next question. Can homeopathy help older autistic kids? And my answer to this, I used to think it was less so, but I've been getting reports from homeopaths that they are having success with older autistic kids. Of course, the younger, the better. If you can bring your child to a homeopath before they're around 3 or around 3 years old, the better the chances you're going to have. I mean, when people take their kid to the homeopath before they're 3, I say you can expect over time a complete recovery. I mean, you can at least hope for that and have a good sense of hope for that, because there's so much potential now for reversing this situation. And the older the child is, the harder it is to reverse it. With an older autistic person, they've taken years possibly of various drugs, etc. The whole situation has become much more fixed in the person. It's harder to change. But now, as this population of patients have begun to go to homeopaths, and really this is just beginning, homeopaths are starting to see older autistic patients and are getting some definite progress. Progress is possible, even if it's not a full cure. So here's an example. A friend of mine was seeing an adult autistic patient, a man, I think, in his 20s or 30s. And under homeopathy, he had various seizures. His seizures completely went away. Now, the parents stopped coming to this homeopath. She didn't know why, because this had happened, you know, but they expected something like he was automatically going to start talking and becoming a normal person. You can't expect that. But if a person is going from having seizures all the time to not having seizures, that's a very positive result. And more positive results like that could come with patience. So don't expect a miracle, but expect progress, and that's what matters. That's what I was going to say, too, about chelation, homeopathy, taking metals out of the body over time. You must be patient. What's important is that your child is improving. I mean, obviously, if you're doing homeopathy and the child's not improving, well, then you might try something else, or try a different homeopath, or try for a new remedy. But if your child is improving, is slowly and gradually improving, then please be patient and stick with it, because over time, just look at over time, it's like the rabbit and the tortoise. Over time, the tortoise may win the race, and just keep an eye on the goal and watch, look for progress. Not progress each day, let's say progress each month. And if your kid is improving month by month by month, then just stick with the program. I say this all the time because parents are so impatient. Okay, food sensitivities. Oh, I've talked about this a little bit, about diet being important, because it's a maintaining cause. And like, as I said, with homeopathic treatment, this food sensitivity issue may be the last thing to go, and you'd have to remove foods very slowly, cautiously, a few years of homeopathic treatment. I have heard of people having success with NAET to remove these allergies, these sensitivities, so that might be something else you try. Be patient with that. Okay, people ask me, what did I do with my son Max? We began with Max 11 years ago. This was before the autism world became so huge, you know. All these various things were out there. And I was really just exploring in the dark. So the very first thing I did after reading about the Feingold diet was eliminate cow milk, because he was drinking a ton of cow milk. He was addicted to it. And I replaced that with 1 cup of goat milk a day, and he still drinks goat milk most of the time to this day. He doesn't drink a ton of milk, but he drinks goat milk. But I did not actually remove any other forms of dairy from his diet. He still ate cheese and pizza and ice cream and stuff. I mean, we don't eat a lot of that, but I wasn't, you know, completely compulsive about it. But he was drinking so much cow milk, and that was very important for him. I also began to avoid food colorings like in cereals and corn. So we just stopped getting any of that kid kind of cereal in the morning, and candies with food colorings and stuff. Then we introduced homeopathy, and that was the most significant change in him, which you should read about in my book or listen to on the show. And about 6 months into treatment, we also introduced hands-on osteopathic manipulation. And I think over the years, maybe he's been to the osteopath 10 times, 15 times. So not a lot of that. I mean, this is 11 years later. But in those first 2-3 years, he probably went to the osteopath maybe about six times, something like that. The other thing I did, and I really do think this made a difference, is that I had learned some Reiki myself, and I would do Reiki on Max. If I felt he was having, moving backwards, or it was a bad time and I was concerned, I would go in there and sort of do this prayerful Reiki on him while he was sleeping. And personally, I think this really had an effect on him. So I would recommend that kind of thing too. And today, Max really sees a homeopath only occasionally when he's sick or something. In fact, he goes less than the rest of my family. He's very rarely sick. My kids are very rarely sick. They probably miss at most 1 or 2 days of school per year. And that's not even, maybe 1 day or less. They often don't miss any days of school in an entire year. And to this day, like I said, Max still avoids things like cow milk, and I try to get him to avoid corn and food coloring, but when he's out of my reach, he's 14, he loves to eat corn chips and stuff and eat Skittles, but it doesn't seem to have any effect on him. Okay, so what about the next important category of information, and I may have to do another show on this kind of thing, but anyway, is what about other methods of homeopathic treatment? This show is devoted to classical homeopathy, which means a single remedy is chosen that matches the child based on their symptoms. Nevertheless, most classical homeopaths will use other kinds of techniques too when they change remedies or select remedies. Now, one of these types of methods is called isopathy, which is giving in homeopathic doses, these potentized, highly dilute doses, substances that are suspected in having caused the damage. So they will give the vaccines, homeopathic versions of the vaccines in potency, or thimerosal, mercury, Tylenol, etc. And I think that this is very important in autism treatment. And I think it's important to see homeopaths who are willing to use these methods when they're needed, based on the symptoms and based on the progress of the case. So, for example, you might start with a particular remedy and you only get so far, so then you might try the vaccine in potency or thimerosal in potency, because it might be a part of the case that's being blocked by this poisoning incident. So I personally am opposed to any kind of fixed protocols, combinations, anything like that, that are used for autistic kids, because these children are very sensitive, very individualistic. Remedies are not nothing just because they're highly dilute. They are potent triggers to your energy body. And so they shouldn't be given lightly. And so I really personally believe in individualized classical treatment that's done judiciously, not just according to some protocol. Okay, so then another question people ask me about is sequential therapy. This is a a sub-area or a philosophy of homeopathic treatment that's sort of branched off from classical treatment, that's based on a particular idea. And the idea is that the body is like an onion, a set of layers, and that all these layers build up and that you have to peel them off one by one. So a sequential therapist will take your history. Of course, any homeopath should take your full history. And then the sequential homeopath will give, usually once a month, a new remedy in reverse order based on what's happened in the case. Now, a classical homeopath will also take this history and will also take into consideration all these things that have happened to you when they select their remedies. That's my preference. My preference is not to use sort of a formula or rote technique. It should be based, what Hahnemann always advised, is treating based on the symptoms that the person has. So that is what I advise. But I know sequential homeopaths are having success in their autism treatment. And you know, when it boils down to, if you took two autistic patients and one went to a sequential homeopath, another went to a classical who is open-minded about using isopathic remedies, etc., when necessary, when you look at what remedies they were given, they might be the same in the end. So sometimes there's a difference of philosophy, but sometimes there are people who just don't really study the case. They just have this protocol and follow it for every patient. And that is the kind of thing that makes me nervous. Okay, also, a lot of people think they're going to a homeopath. Well, they're not going to a classical homeopath, and what they're really getting is these mixed combinations of remedies, these sort of packaged mixtures, and that the practitioner tests the patient with a machine and decides on which one of these mixtures to give them. Now, this is definitely not homeopathy as I am familiar with it, or it's definitely not classical homeopathy. It's not homeopathy the way Hahnemann, who developed homeopathy, practice it. I know that people are having some success with these methods. I've never heard of a complete cure with these methods. And it's possible that some of the remedies in these combinations are important curative remedies for the child. And to my knowledge, no machine has been proven to select remedies in this way. So my personal feeling, and I'm not saying that these methods can't be successful sometimes, my feeling is that throwing many remedies in a fixed combination in an autistic child might be foolhardy, because these children are very sensitive. So at the very best, they may help a little and do no harm, but at worst, if you're giving them repeatedly, they could harm the energy field of the patient and further mix up the case for future treatment. So personally, I would be wary of this method of treatment. I would see a classical homeopath first, a sequential homeopath second. This is my opinion, and something like this as a last resort. So that's my view. Now, it's possible, I do believe in various mysterious things that happen in our world, in energy, and it's possible that these machines are somehow picking up on something. But to me, I think the most important machine to use in treatment for autism is the human brain and really thinking about the case. So this is the way I was trained, and this is my predilection. So when you were looking for a practitioner, I always suggest that you see a practitioner who only practices homeopathy, or it's the bulk of what they do, and they have several years of experience, and they've trained for at least 4 years, so that they really are experienced enough to treat an autistic child, because it's not an easy thing to treat. Another thing people ask me about is zinc. Some people are being given the remedy zinc sort of as a cure-all for autism. Now, homeopathic zinc is an important remedy in autism treatment, especially in cases with perseveration, where the person's repeating. But it is not a blanket panacea remedy. It shouldn't be given repeatedly, daily, to every autistic child. It's not taking a remedy made from something like zinc is not like taking the vitamin zinc. It's not, homeopathic remedies are not vitamins. They are not supplements, and that's very important to know. They are stimuli to your body working on the energetic plane, not on the physical plane. And for that reason, you know, they don't do chemical things to your body, but they can have profound effects. So I wouldn't view them as, they're not vitamins. So if you are using zinc, I mean, maybe the right remedy for your child, but you know, do it knowing that that homeopathy has real effects, and you shouldn't just do this just on your own or without, you know, really good supervision. Okay. Well, I'm almost running out of time, but I have a little bit to say about vaccination, and I probably should have a future show about vaccination. People ask me about homeopathic vaccination, which is instead of taking the vaccines, you give, let's say, the vaccine and potency. There's certain practitioners who do this kind of thing. This is definitely not classical practice. You know, I've talked about the treatment of epidemics and disease in previous shows, and I think I'm going to leave this for a future show. Of course, most of you know that vaccines are, in my opinion, the primary cause of the epidemic of autism, Asperger, ADD, etc. in this country. And thimerosal is not the only reason. The kids are just being given too many antigens, overstimulating one branch of the immune system instead of the other. It's just a misguided thing that's really destroying our health. So, well, why don't I talk about the issue of vaccination in a future show, and about homeopathic approach to diseases, epidemics, vaccination, etc. in a future show. But in the meantime, I just wanted to tell you about a website that my husband helped create, that is the online user-friendly web searchable version of the CDC VAERS database, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System database. The CDC makes these vaccine injury cases available, database available, but it's completely unusable what they make available by any normal human being. And we were asked by Alan Yurko many years ago now to somehow do something and make this, find out about hot lots, you know, what are the most damaging vaccines. And so my husband took the data and basically made it usable online. And he updates it every year. And it is now sponsored, this database sponsored by the National Vaccine Information Center. And you can see it at medalerts.org, medalerts.org. So you can do some research online with this database. So, so that's about it. I may do another show like this in the future, but in the meantime, I want to encourage you all to listen to the February show, hear about Erica McPhee's child's cure from autism, and also remind you all to check out the ImpossibleCure.com website, and also check out the a website called Homeopathy for Special Needs Children. It's homeopathysnc.org. And they have a Yahoo group associated with that. And finally, to check out the website for the National Center for Homeopathy, and I want you and encourage to join the National Center as well. And you can go to the website, find all about what you get for joining. That's homeopathic.org. So anyway, be well, Happy New Year, and remember, there really is hope with homeopathy.